They said, Jesus, where are you staying? You know, where are you? Because they wouldn't hang out with him. They didn't quite know what was going on with this guy, Jesus, but they knew something was special about him. Have you ever met someone like that? You're like, I don't know what's going on with this person, but they've got something special, and I want that. Or I want to know more about this person. We have this little word called intimacy. And if you ask the world what intimacy is, they're going to think, first thing, they're going to think of sex. No, that's not intimacy. Intimacy is truly knowing that person. You know, knowing their feelings, their thoughts, their weaknesses. And the unconditional love of God is that we can be us in all our weaknesses. Well, what if I go get drunk tomorrow? God will still love you. Well, what if there's this certain sin I just can't quit doing? God will still love you. Okay, God's always pouring out his love to us. It's us that when we start walking back in the flesh. And what have we talked about this? What's walking in the flesh mean? Doing it your way. Doing it your way. Any other way than God's way is the flesh. God's way is the spirit. We walk in the spirit, not the flesh. And we can get into the flesh real quick, right? You know, on a weekly basis, I get in the flesh. I get impatient. Ask my wife. Get out of the way! Idiot driver in front of me. Get out of the way. You know, we get in the flesh all the time. But that's not who we are. Our identity is in Christ. Our identity is righteous, blameless, and holy. That's our identity. Don't forget it. Don't forget that. Don't forget who you are. You're a son of the living most high, daughter and son of the living most high God. So they said, so Jesus said, oh, you guys want to hang out a little bit? Where are you staying? Yeah, come and see. Come and see. If you really want to know me, come and see. We're going to see that again in this chapter, those three words, come and see. You know what believing is, guys? We talk about this. What do you got to do to be saved? Believe. Well, how do I do that? By faith. Well, what do I got to do? Believe. Well, okay. Well, what does that mean? You know, and believe just means that you're putting all your faith in him and you're believing that he is who he says he is. And when Jesus is telling them all you got to do is believe, they're refusing to see that he is God incarnate in the flesh. Despite all the miracles he's working, despite everything he's doing, the first one being the water to wine, right? Changing the water to wine. Then going from there to healing the blind man. One blind man, then he comes along, heals another blind man. It was born that way since birth. Now he's getting ready to pull out all the stops. Lazarus, come forth! This is going to blow them all away. So let's jump in. But think about those words. Come and see. Believing, going back to that word believing. Believing is seeing. Y'all with me? The people that don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus is the living God, cannot see. They cannot see. They have a blindness over them. And until that's pulled back, and so we talked about the blind man being healed. He says, I was once, whether he's a sinner. Remember, they went back and said, hey, is this guy a sinner? This guy that healed you. How did he do that? I don't know. He spat on the ground, put some mud in my eyes, and told me to go wash somewhere in some swimming pool somewhere. Whoa, you're the guy that was born blind from birth. Yeah, I'm that guy. Well, is he a sinner? Well, I don't know, but this I do know. I was once blind, say it with me, but now I see. That's where we come in, guys. We can see who he is and how wonderful he is and how much he loves us. Now, the us progressing in the word is dispelling all the lies we've been told. That's basically it. Now, we've been lied to since we were 2 years old. You know? And now we come and meet Jesus and we go, wow, the truth will set me free. And that's what's going to happen here. So we go into John chapter 11. And if you have your word, your sword with me. You know, I was really encouraged last week. Well, we had for Christmas Eve. You guys that were here, we had a full house, packed house. And the guy who called me and said, hey, I hope you got room. We got like 40-something people coming. I said, yeah, come on. I said, it doesn't matter if we don't have room. We'll have them out. We'll have church outside. It doesn't matter. You know? And I said, you guys are a blessing to us. Amen? You guys were a blessing to us. But anyway, I was really encouraged because I had his number, and he texts me. He said, hey, did you see a Bible laying around? I left my Bible somewhere. So I put a message out to a few people. And one person wrote back and said, yeah, I think there was a Bible somewhere over here. It was on the floor. Under the chair. And it was his Bible. And it was this big old thick Bible with a tie around it. Probably had a $500 Bible. I'm serious. Y'all didn't know Bibles could get that expensive, did you? I do, because I got a few of them. They can get very expensive. Yeah. Yeah, in fact, I think one day if I ever go homeless, I'm going to trade one of my Bibles for some food, because it's worth a lot of money. But what encouraged me was, I said, you know what encouraged me? Is you actually brought your sword. You actually brought your Bible to a worship service. That's encouraging. When we did discipleships down in Columbia, it was part of our requirement that you carry this with you everywhere you go. This is my sword that I can draw out anytime I want. Hit him with the word of God. And this identifies me, who I am. This is my identity. This is just like a deputy sheriff putting on a gun every day. That's part of his uniform. This is part of my uniform. Amen? And so, you know, that was encouraging me. I'm just talking about some things that have encouraged me lately. What's encouraged me, too, is Autumn and Anthony stepping up and saying, hey, we want to come help you guys do worship. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, we love that. So we're excited about that. Everybody turn to John chapter 11 before I go totally sideways. Now, a certain man was sick. We know how that feels. Everybody in here. I talked to the sheriff last week. He had the flu. He was sick. Entire Christmas, he's been sick. And so we all know what it feels like to be sick. It's not a good thing. It's miserable. And there are illnesses that lead to death. We know that. Especially as we get older. You know, how many people a year die by pneumonia, die by the flu? As we get older, we start breaking down. We become sick. But this guy, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha, verse 2, it was that Mary who anointed, and the reason the Bible says that Mary, because there's a lot of Marys. And it can be very confusing. There's the Mary, mother of Jesus. There's the Mary, sister of Martha. There's several Johns. So you just kind of dial it in here for a minute. But this is not the point of the story. But it was Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now remember, we're going to go into that in a few weeks. The Bible doesn't write things necessarily in chronological order. So this is why we sometimes get confused. But we're going to go into this in the next couple of weeks. How Mary anoints Jesus' feet with her hair in this expensive oil. And there's one person going to get angry about it. And we're going to get into that. Therefore, the sisters sent to him saying, Lord. Now notice what they call Jesus. A lot of people believe Jesus exists. Follow me here. A lot of people believe, yeah, okay, there's this guy, Jesus. But who do they call him? Some call him a good man. Some call him a peaceful man. Some call him a prophet. Some call him a magician. Some of his own people called him of the devil. You see the, it goes from there to there. But who calls him Lord? Only those who believe in him. Can you call him Lord today? Amen. I can call him Lord. He's my Lord. There is nothing other than him that I am counting on, that I'm believing in, that I'm having faith in. It's not my works. It's not how good I am. It's not how good looking I am. It's not how good looking I'm not am, or whatever, or how much I give to the poor, or how. It's not none of that. It's about who he is. And it's not about what he can do for me. How many people out there are trusting in Jesus because of what he can do for me? How many people are out there trusting in God because, well, God, you know, I need a new truck. Ask and you shall receive. Jeff and I were talking about that before the service. Ask and you receive not because you ask not. Okay, well, Lord, I need a new truck. Well, it ain't happening. Why, God? I thought you were God. I thought you could do all things. Well, it ain't happening because it ain't what you need, brother. It ain't what you need. So we're going to see this here in a minute. Everybody's going to get concerned about Lazarus. Rightly so. He's sick, right? Are you concerned about someone that's sick in your family? Yes. Anytime someone gets sick, we start asking them, let me take your fever. Let me check your fever. Let me. My wife will baby me. I need to get sick again. My wife will baby me like a little baby. And of course, us men, you know how when we get a fever of 99, oh, we're dead. You know, men cannot take sickness. We just lay down and like the world's over. Women just keep going. I don't know what it is about you women. But us men turn into total babies. And men, including me. But she'll placate me. She'll. Hey, baby, let me check your fever. Let me check this. Let me check that. I'm like, man, I need to get sick more often. Let me bring you something to drink. Let me take your socks off. Let me build you a fire. But we get concerned when people get sick. Because what are we thinking? This may be the last time we see you. This sickness may lead to you dying. And we see, this is what we see. We see you dying as the end. This is the way we see it. The world, even as Christians sometimes, we think of our life as, how old are you? 62? Oh, yeah, you don't have much longer. Your life's over. I've got news for you. My life never ends. My life, I'm in eternity now. You know, when this body, when my heart takes its last beat, don't grieve for me. Don't be so upset for me. It's like when my dad died back in October. Yeah, I cried, but I also praised the Lord at the same time. Have you ever done that? Yeah. You ever cried and praised the Lord? And I grabbed my stepmother's hand and I said, amen, praise the Lord. And it was a cry and it was a because I knew he was with the Lord. Wow, he's finally got peace. He's been laying there on his back for weeks. Couldn't do anything. He couldn't even go to the bathroom. Couldn't eat. Nothing. Like, God, take him. Got something better for you. But we tend to think in the here and now, what have you done for me lately? And that's why we look at each other and I relate. What have you done for me lately, Mary Ann? Done for nothing for me, Ann? Done nothing for you? And God says, I'm going to do something for you anyway. I don't know. I'm going to do something for you anyway, even though you ain't done nothing to me. Done nothing. So he's sick. And they call him Lord. That tells you everything. What you call someone tells you everything. Friend. We're called friends. Amen. So you're no longer servant. You're my friend. You're my son. You're my daughter. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death. Who is this guy? How's this guy know? How's this guy know the future? How's this guy know this guy's not going to die? Who could say that with 100% authority? Only God. Who can say in your life with only 100% authority how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen? And it's going to happen to His purpose, for His purpose, for His glory, and for the love of you. When we sit back, we say, hey, my day is coming. I don't know yet, but I know God's got something good for me. And it's coming. I just don't know when. And I'm just going to keep walking, and I'm going to keep looking forward. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep delighting myself in Him. I'm going to keep praising Him no matter what, right through the middle of the storm. And I'm going to wait, and there's going to be a breakthrough in your life. Quit thinking, poor old me, my life's over, my life's done, I got nothing better to look forward to. We have so much more to look forward to. Life abundantly. Look around. Stop and, like my wife will say, stop and smell the roses. My wife has shown me so much about the being in the presence. In the present. We're down in Miami, we're walking along, and a little bird's chirping in the bush, and she's like, hey, Lindo. Hey, Linda. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Something is cute, something. I walked past a million birds, never even thought about it, but she noticed the little things. Start looking at the little things in your life that God has put there, the little things that can give you joy that you're going right past thinking, I want something bigger, I want something bigger, I want something bigger. What did Adam and Eve standing at the garden? They wanted something bigger. God had given them everything. God had given them everything. Here's a beautiful garden. Walk in it. Enjoy it. Enjoy walking with me. Well, we want something more. No, you don't. You want what God has for you, nothing else. When the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Back up one chapter. The blind man born blind from birth. The disciples ask Jesus, who sinned? Remember? His parents or him that he was born this way? What did Jesus say? Neither. Nobody did. It was for the show, for the glory of God, for the power of God to be demonstrated. God can work in our weaknesses, guys. In fact, God, like we were just talking about earlier, His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Therefore, I'm going to boast more about my weakness. I'm not going to go around like a religious person and pretend to be perfect. It repels me when somebody tries to fake it. You know, I'm not faking it. I mean, I am who I am, with all my faults, with all my peculiarities, with all my little quirks, and God loves me anyway. Can everybody say, God loves me anyway? Say, God loves me anyway. God loves me anyhow. Let's don't get religious to where we go around and point at people. I know what your sin is. You don't see mine because I cover my eyes. A religious person is very good at covering up. They're very good at that, speaking that Christianese and shaking hands the right way and wearing the right clothes, saying the long prayers and being seen by men. Look at me. We don't have to be that way, guys. We can rest. It's finished. He finished it. We can rest. It says that the Son of God may be glorified through it. The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, verse 4, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, you're getting ready. This trips me out. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days. That, I'm like, what? Wait. Did you not get the memo, Jesus? Lazarus is sick, and apparently he's so sick that they're sending word to Lord Jesus. They know who he is. And they know, and they're thinking in their mind, if you can just get here fast enough, Jesus, he's going to be okay. What's that called? Faith. That's faith demonstrated. Remember when James talks about faith without works is dead? That's what he's saying. That's faith demonstrated. You're not talking about you going out and doing good things because we don't even know the good we ought to do. The Bible says that. We think we should do something and, oh, this is going to be good, and it's not even good. You know, God said, I prepared all the good works for you. Just go walk in them. My good work is I love you. Go love some people. How about that? Go show some grace to someone, some mercy to someone. How about that? That's becoming more like Jesus. That's hard. That's hard to do when somebody has wronged you. That's hard to do when somebody has slapped you, spit in your face, and told you you're no good for nothing. How do I love that person? So we struggle with that. God doesn't. God sees all our slaps in the face and all our miscomings and says, I love you anyway. You can't do anything to separate you, me, from my love. You can't do anything. So Jesus is going to hang out for two more days. What does that tell us? It tells us that Jesus sees something more important than the immediate wellness of Lazarus. He sees something more important here. There's going to something more important is going to happen that's going to give glory to God than the immediate upbringing of Lazarus. He stayed two more days. Think about that when God delays in your life. Is it a delay? I thought about this last night when I was writing the sermons. I don't write sermons. I just read and think and let God speak. But I was thinking about this last night. Is God delayed in your life? He hasn't. He's brought the perfect timing in your life. I thought about this. God, when this was happening, why did you not show up? Why did you not show up when I was about to put a bullet in my head? Why did you not show up when I was drunk in the street? Why did you not show up when I was homeless? When I was, you know, and we say all this stuff. And we go, why? And God says, I'm not delaying. I'm going to bring about something greater for you. And it's going to be greater for everyone else, too. So it's not always about you, right? It's about your family and the ones around you to see the glory of God and the power of God working in you. I know right now we've got people in this room that have struggled with substances. I have struggled with substances. There was a time in my life when I was addicted to hydrocodone for 5 years. I couldn't get out of bed without popping a hydrocodone. I couldn't go to sleep without popping a couple of hydrocodone. I went through withdrawals. I am a former drug addict. I know what it's like. And those are times in the life when we start looking and saying, why God? But now I look back and I go, okay, I get it. There was no delay. It's your timing for your glory, your purpose. It's not all about me. It's about him. And so he's delaying. So think about this. If God is delaying in your life right now, it only seems that way to you. If there's something you've been praying for that hasn't been happening, God ain't delaying. It's going to come about. And with his purpose and his timing, we do know the future is good because he's good. We do have hope, which the world does not have. We do know we could die today and be with him tomorrow. We can glory in that. We can find peace in that and security in that. You know, I keep looking around the room. I see everybody's faces and I think, one day we'll be together in eternity. And we'll be talking about, remember Heber? Remember the Christmas we didn't get any snow? All the ski resorts were going bankrupt and we didn't think nobody was going to make it. Nobody had a job. And we're going to look back and go, wow, God had us the whole time. Amen? After this, verse 7, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. And are you going there again? Okay, I don't know that I would. If every time I went into Heber, a crowd gathered around and wanted to kill me, I'd be like, I don't think I'm going to go there anymore. I'm going to find another town, Whitefish, Montana, maybe. It's a nice place that I can't afford. You think about all the nice places now nobody can afford, right? So he says, are there not 12 hours in the day? Now listen to this. Every time Jesus speaks back to the disciples, he gives you an insight to who he is. And he also gives an insight to who the Father is. We already talked about that. He's a good shepherd. He's a good father. We got to get our mind dispelled of the lies. The mind's where he's a wrathful God, he's a vengeful God, he wants to kill you, he wants to destroy you. No, that's your enemy. Let's get it right. Let's give credit where credit's due. The chaos in the world, the problems in the world, because of the fallen one, the enemy, not because of him. And we're going to see here in a minute where Jesus is actually going to weep. God himself is going to cry human tears. Think about that. And you're created in the image of him. So when you're crying human tears, you're not alone. Because the God that created you has done the same. Cry all you want. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. Amen. Who is the light of this world? Jesus. He's saying, if you walk in me, you'll always be in the light. You'll always be seeing. You will know what's good, what's not good. The world doesn't know what's good and what's not good. They just do what they do. They even call good evil good. They don't know. So walking in the light, remember? Light came in the world, but men loved darkness because their deeds were evil. Let's think about this for a minute. It doesn't mean they were going around having orgies and sex and getting drunk and doing drugs. We're not talking about deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil because they didn't believe. So when you're relying on your own and walking in the flesh, that's evil. That's the evil part. Once you start walking in that spirit, you don't sin. You can't sin. You're sinless. 1 John talks about that. See, this is where we get performance mixed up. Well, I sin. I still sin. Yeah, you do. But God doesn't see you that way. He sees you as righteous and sinless and blameless and holy. Now start walking like he sees you. Start walking like he sees you. Not based on performance, but based on who you are. You've been born again. You're not that old person. So, if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. And there's another thing, there's this other doctrine out there talking about we fall asleep. That just means, what Jesus is meaning is this is temporary. Everybody go to sleep? Did you sleep last night? How well did you sleep? Some good, some not so good. Marie and I fight over the covers all night. We're like, yep, move over. You're in the middle of the bed. And then got two or three dogs and five, six cats piled up in there. And we're like, hey, can we get anybody else in the bed? Anybody else want to get in the bed? Just come jump in. And don't move. Don't nobody move. Because you're going to wake somebody up. Jesus is talking about sleep in the term that it's temporary. We're going to sleep. And we'll see in the Bible where, like, they slept with their fathers. You know, they died, the old patriarchs, and then they slept with their fathers. They're resting, basically, is what it is. We all know that absence from the body is present with the Lord. So don't get caught up in this false doctrine that's out there. Oh, you go to sleep, and then God will wake you up with the resurrection. No, that's your bodily resurrection. When he brings you back bodily, but still in the spirit. So, our friend Lazarus sleeps. Notice Jesus calls him our friend. He's calling you his friend today. Well, I'm not worthy. Yes, you are. Well, I'm not perfect. Yes, you are. Whoa. You're looking at your performance. Quit looking at your performance. Start looking at his. Quit looking at your performance. Start looking at his. His is perfect. So when he gives you his righteousness, he's giving you perfect righteousness. There's nothing else to give to you. You're 100% his. Clean, washed by the blood. Eternally secure forever and ever and ever. Now, keep telling yourself that. Because we mess up and we go out and we do stupid things and we say crazy things and we think we disappointed God again and he doesn't love us anymore. That's a lie from the pit of hell. So he says, I'm going to go wake him up. Has God ever woke you up? You ever been out sleeping, just sleeping and slumbering around and like, you know, what's the purpose of this life? I'm just kind of asleep at the wheel. You know, I used to be that way when I worked for a fabric back when I graduated high school. I was working for a carpet store. And every night I would go into work at midnight. Now, who does that? Who does that? I'm glad I did. I'm glad God let me do that to know I don't want to do that anymore. But going at midnight, I would get up at 8 in the morning. Well, what's coming? What's happening at 8 in the morning? The sun's coming up. Most normal people are getting up. I'm just like worn out because I've been standing all night long looking at carpet rolling down on a roller and trying to see if there's any imperfections in it. And when I would see it, I would stop the carpet roll. And we had a little counter on there, and I would roll the carpet until I didn't see any more imperfections anymore. And then I would put that down and log it in where they could go and cut that section out and redo it. For 3 months, I did this. I was asleep at the wheel. Literally. And one time I got in trouble because I didn't catch a certain amount. My supervisor called me and says, I'm going to have to write you up. I said, what does that mean? I've never been written up. Found out real quick at age 18 what it means to be written up. You get two more chances, and you're out. Right. Woo, I better start paying attention.
Yeah.
If I want that $3.25 an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Asleep at the wheel, and God wakes you up. We've all had those moments, right? So he's going to go wake Lazarus up. The disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You can take that to the bank. If God says it, it's done. Lazarus is dead. Imagine what they thought then. What are you going to do now, Lord? We've seen you turn water to wine. We've seen you heal a couple of blind dudes. We've seen you feed 5,000 people. I don't know how you did that, but that was kind of cool. We had a lot of people follow us the next day. That's when Jeff starts cooking breakfast. A lot more people start showing up at church. Feed me! Jeff's standing back there going, I know why you're following me. I know why you're here. Because I got pancakes, eggs, bacon. And I'm glad for your sakes, Jesus said, I was not there that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. We'll pick up next week. Travis, you'll have to text me on John 11, 16. We'll pick up on John 11, 16, and we'll go from there. But we're going to see a lot of things happen here. And what's amazing about the rest of chapter 11, what we're going to see that's really amazing, is that people are going to stand there and watch Lazarus come forth and come out of the grave, and they're still not going to believe. Remember what believing is. Believing is seeing. The ability to see who God is. And if you look for the truth, you're going to find the truth. And truth has a name. Say it with me. His name is Jesus. Truth has a name. Grace has a name. His name is Jesus. All your needs and wants and hopes and aspirations in life has a name. It's the great I am. It all goes back to him. Praise the Lord. We're looking forward to 2006. Raise your hand if you're looking forward to 2026. I said 2006. 2006. When was 2006? 20 years ago. 2026. We're looking forward to what God is going to do. Because he's already done it. He's already prepared it for us. We just got to walk in it. Say, God, what do you want me to do now? Where do you want me to go now? How do you want me to do this? Bring the people we need to have. Take the people we don't need to have. Whatever it is. Bring into my life whatever would draw me closer to you. Take out of my life whatever would repel me from you. God speaks to us individually. That's why, you know, I used to have people come to me and say, God told me to tell you. And I said, well, he hadn't told me that yet. So go away. God will speak to you. And this is what he's speaking to you right now. Three words. Say it with me. I love you. Say it again, just in case you forget. We have short memory. I love you. That's from the God of all. Amen? Amen. Let's sing.